This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's the Pristine Healthy Podcast. No, that's not what it's called.
Oh,
it's
no, it is called that.
It's the Serene Healthy Podcast. It's the healthiest. I can't remember the name of the show.
Pristine. I feel like Pristine kind of like...
I know what it is.
Feel like you was tracking.
No, it's that Pearl's gone.
Yes. Pearl's gone.
Okay.
And you know what I have here on my lap since Pearl is gone?
It looks like a tele.
Oh, it's got my teleprompter. I have brought as many scriptures as I can stuff into one potty.
Serene.
Yes.
Can we make an agreement?
Make it with me, mate.
To go so far beyond what Pearl would want.
Yeah.
In terms of just like obedience.
Yeah.
Sticking to the whatever.
I'm feeling you. I felt it. I was like, this is my hour. This is my moment.
I want her to regret leaving. I want her to watch this and be like, I can never leave again.
Look, I love my sister and she's like more scripture than anyone I ever know, but she's very wise.
Yeah.
She is. She's good. She's like pearl of the wise pearl. And, you know, she's always thinking about everybody listening, which is a wise thing to do. She's always like, Serene,
it's fine.
Like maybe 20% of our listeners are believe in the Bible. Like you got to think about everybody else.
Yeah.
Like Serene, be thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
But deep down, I'm not as thoughtful as her.
No.
And so I'm just going to bring my raw step on toes person.
I could describe this show as reckless.
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah, this is going to be reckless and it's going to be a bit teleprompter-ish. I'm going to like bring it as like, I'm going to try and bring it unteleprompter, but I felt this burning in my heart. So I wrote.
Okay.
So Dan, it's your job to revive the teleprompter, Serene, if she gets too telly.
Here's the thing. Some of the best moments are it's goodness in a box, you know? Like there's a balance, like there's inspiration, but when you can sort of like have a script that you can leave, that's where I think the goods come.
Well, I did the teleprompter today because I'm like, this is my moment. Since when have I done a potty without Pearl? Never.
Yeah.
Like the one with Nadia, but not ever since. Like we have always had Pearl here. Like
she's not
you have
stop
had
you
me not here, but I've never had Pearl not here.
Yeah.
Except for these two, the Nadia one and this one. And so I'm
little
gonna
sister
just,
energy release.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And the potties and the teleprompter is going to keep me on track so I can fill all the scriptures and get them all in.
Okay.
Okay. But in the end, we're going to go physical. And Dana, get your push-ups ready.
Oh.
This potty is called Potty Strong.
Okay.
Everything strength is what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Like everything involved in strength. We're going to go to the inner strength first. And then we're going to end with the outer strength, the physical strength. And we want to see how many push-ups you can pull off.
I'm so behind.
Oh, damn. Get your adrenaline going.
All right.
But so we're going to start with inside strength. And we're starting with a scripture. You know,
thought?
And I don't even know where it's found. I didn't even put the reference. But you know the one.
Is it in the Bible?
Physical exercise profits but a little. You know that one? You know
no.
that one in the Bible that talks about physical exercise profits but a little.
But
must be the King James, profits but a little.
That sounds like that.
But so, you know, I just want to clarify with that scripture that back in the Bible, good old Bible days, they didn't have washing machines they just pressed a button on, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody had a car.
Right.
So when they said exercise profits just a little, it still profited a little, but they already exercised all day long just in life,
that's
right?
That's true.
They walk to the river.
That's so true.
You know, have you seen The Chosen?
Yeah.
You know, they're all there
well, no,
with their like their clothes, the woman, and like, and they're like all scrubbing up and like it's good elbow grease, arm movement, you know,
okay.
And then they walk up the hill with all their clothes on their head.
Yeah.
And then the woman, they were like water carriers.
Like in
you know,
Braveheart.
Like they had to carry all the water on their, like the big long stick with a big barrel on either
yes.
side with water and everything.
Yeah.
And so exercise, even weightlifting was part of just daily life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All that said, I do want to start with the inner and then we'll go back to the exercise.
I bet the women were built like me. Still feminine.
You should have a better. Listen, you got to change your identity. Dan, you're doing great.
I feel
you're
good.
You're thickening
though.
Out. Yeah.
And I feel thick.
Yes. Speak to those thickness.
Speak
thick
to the
cells.
Thickness.
Speak to the thick cells.
That should be
but
a
anyway,
t-shirt.
But anyway, so we're going to talk about bodily exercise at the end. Because
okay.
I really am inspired more than ever into bodily exercise.
To exercise?
Yeah.
Are you exercising more?
Oh, but not overdoing it, because that's a crime too, right? It's as much as crime is under.
It can be a crime, yeah.
But anyway, to the teleprompter we go.
Do you feel nervous?
No. Okay. I don't feel nervous. No. Okay. So let's go. I think, Dan, the world has a skewed definition of inner strength. Many times we think people are strong when they look like they have it all together.
Ooh, I mean, I've thought it so many times, right? Get me on my hobby horse.
When they don't seem to struggle with anything. But this is not true inner strength. Because human strength only goes so far, you know, as far as God's strength is concerned, which is way more incredible. You know, it makes human strength look like the strength of a flea. Human strength will always fail. It will always fail. And maybe somebody will last more than Joe Blow or Jane down the road. But
Jane Green.
But human strength will always fail. True inner strength, I have come to realize, and it was realization come through just the scriptures. But first of all, before I go, I want to say a lot of this that I'm bringing today, I've already brought to a pilot group that Pearl and I are part of. And it's called Treasure Hunters.
You guys are teaching people how to fly?
We are. We are learning how to fly with them. It's a journey that we are taking, and we've taken a bunch of women with us. It's just a pilot group. It's not open, but soon it will be, but not right now. It's
so this
private.
Is like a beta test.
It's just a private group that we wanted to keep small in the beginning.
What sort of group? Where are these people? Like online?
Yep, online. Yeah, okay. But we're all together going to deeper places. We're all together learning to fly. We're all together. It's called Treasure Hunters because we are learning to find the treasures in life.
Oh,
and
yes.
it's you know, there's food and health and practical stuff in there, but it's so much more.
But it's more. Is it more of like a so close knit?
Oh, we're like, all besties.
Okay,
and we're in their lives, like
inner circle type of stuff.
Oh yeah, and they're in ours.
When's this gonna be like official then?
No dates.
Oh. All the team
two
is
months,
like
2 months, maybe 2 months. We might open it up to the public, but right now
we're months away, safe to say.
Yeah, okay. A couple of months away. But a lot of this stuff I have already brought. So just there are some treasure hunters that also listen to the party. So that's why I wanted to clarify.
I see.
Okay, great. But what I realized is true inner strength is humility.
Mm.
True strength knows without God we are weak and we have incredible need for him. True strength knows that it can't rely on our natural strength or our own willpower. True strength comes with the realization that God is our source, but, and this is an important one that I've had to learn too, but also that he can use others to strengthen us, right?
Yeah.
The true strength comes from an awareness of other gifts in the room. True strength is humble enough to receive help and to draw from the strength of others. And, you know, it's interesting who God chose to work with, you know, to pour his strength into. He chose a bunch of no-hope fishermen, you know, with doubts, with insecurities, with tempers. He chose Simon Peter with a nasty temper. And he said to Simon Peter, hey, you're going to be the rock in which I build my church. So I feel like encouraging people listening who feel like, oh, you know, you're talking about inner strength, but that is the last thing that I feel. That is an adjective I would never describe myself. Great. You're the perfect conduit for real strength, for real power to flow through. Because God works through humble vessels. He works through the people who realize their weakness. You know, he chose the prostitutes. He chose the oppressed. And he can't use the proud, but only those who realize their great inadequacy. And he uses people that realize, I haven't got it all together and I can't do this alone.
So good.
So, you know, he told the Pharisees, the people that thought, you know, I've got it all together. You know, I look perfect in the eyes, you know, and the outer way I look perfect. He said, you guys are just dead man's bones. You're whitewashed tombs. Because inside, you're more than weak. You know, inside, you're dead. And so I'm learning that this place, if I'm going to be strong on the inside, I have to realize my weakness and my inadequacy. But, you know, I feel like that's just the key. The key is learning, okay, I'm a weak vessel. But the door to true strength is when we start confessing his power within us. You know, there's a power that can work through us. And I think that is it's a paradigm shift. So I just want to mention a scripture. Seeing Pearlie's not here, I mean, bless her heart, she does love it when I share scripture, but there is a point where she'll cut me off. But I love Psalm 73:26, and it sums up the everlasting strength that we can tap into. My flesh and my heart fail. This is Psalm 73:26. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I mean, this kind of strength, the strength that never fails, it's our portion. And it's been brought for us through, you know, his work on the cross. And we can just choose to wear it and put it on and move in it. And so it reminds me of another verse I want to bring. I love it in Acts 17:28. For in him we live, in him we move and have our being. And that's one of my favorite life verses. In him I live and move and have my being. And I got to read the scripture. It's epic. And when we take it as truth, it builds in a strength way beyond all those so-called got it together kind of people. And it's Ephesians 3:20. And it's, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And all that is needed is a weak person, right? Who believes in Christ's strength and believes that this strength lives inside of them. That's it. So we don't have to be like got it all together. We don't have to feel this like personal strength, because that's not a strength that lasts. That's just like, bleh.
You know what it makes me think about?
What?
Like, atheism is so out of fashion.
Oh.
Like it just like, I used to be like, and by the way, you know that you girls have sort of debated me about this. Like, I don't consider myself a Christian. I've said that on this podcast.
Yeah. And I could like,
we can
really
clarify,
like do a nice good fight over the fence about
we
that
could,
one.
Absolutely. We could totally fight about it. We can clarify what that means. Right. It doesn't mean I'm not a believer. I don't believe in God.
You just don't like what that word has come to mean, because there's a bunch of Christians out here that you don't really want to be part of.
It means something very specific in America.
Yeah.
And I'm so far from that very specific thing it means. And mm-hmm. it means a host of specific things, but most of them of which I can't relate to at all. But to go atheism, right? Like, I used to be sort of intimidated by the atheist, you know, the one who was like going to come and debate but now it's like, you know, if you just learn a little bit about like science, just a little bit about, you know, some of the ways we've built batteries and things like that. I mean, you have to at some point just kind of lay your hand on your mouth and say, there is so much I don't understand. Like we have harnessed science, but some of our most basic experiments, people should Google the double slit experiment and then come back to me with atheism after that. You know, because it like we are so lost on the most basic concepts of our fundamental reality. That to be completely self-reliant, and this is mm-hmm. what you're saying reminded me of, to be self-reliant and to say that what is real is contained within this body and in this material thing that I can weigh and mm-hmm. measure mm-hmm. is totally ignorant of third grade scientific concepts.
Yeah.
There is this whole fundamental reality that is invisible to our eyes, and much of which is invisible to any of our detectors that we even have. Mm-hmm. That, you know, scientists, physicists call it the force. It's the thing that glues particles together that make up a couch
right.
or a shoe.
Right.
You get to a point where it's like, okay, so what makes the force work? And when you get to that point, you're like, well, we don't know. I mean, we can call it electromagnetism, but I'm saying all this to say that, like, you
there's
know,
no way there's not a intelligent creator behind all of this.
Yes, and that there, like, if we are the sail, there must be wind.
Yes.
And, like, to seek that out,
mm-hmm.
you know, to sort of like just humbly, instead of taking the atheist, I know,
yeah,
you know, I have been to the center of Mars and there is no God there either. I have searched all of the galaxies and mm-hmm. I can prove. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so silly. Mm-hmm. And to just be able, I'm just, I saw you coming. You're gonna, to just be able to just go, okay, I invite that which I do not understand to come and give me knowledge and awaken me to things I've perhaps not mm-hmm. considered and have written off.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about humility, that's what I think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in ancient religions, in Hinduism, they have this idea called the Brahman, which basically it stands for, you know, Pearl's gone, so I'm going to talk for a minute. She's already shutting me down in her heart she's watching.
And
she's
I'm
like,
ready.
Oh,
I'm ready
man.
To say, let me talk about this.
I know you're close.
When you stop.
I know you're close, but just give me a second. Like, there's this idea that Brahman meant to them all of the underlying fundamental foundational reality that is all in all, that is all there has always been and ever will be, that is invisible, that is eternal. They're basically describing what we call God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we would say, we've put a name God on this inconceivable that we can't measure, we can't taste, you know, we can't detect. And it's this idea that there is a force, there is something out there that is from whence we came. And so I'm not making right now any sort of like Christian appeal yet. I'm just saying,
even though you've come to that in your own heart,
yeah.
you may not call it Christian because you don't like the example that many have put forth, but I still like to call it Christian because I'm a follower of Christ. And that's just the simple, like I still call it marriage, even though a lot of people mess marriage up.
Yeah.
Isn't this a great fight?
That's such
a good point.
But it's a
fight
great
over the
point
fence?
Though. No, that's a good point on your side. Like, I still call it marriage.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, people really ruin that idea.
Yeah.
But I'm married.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I believe in it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene and Pearl. Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
John, do you have something to say before I go on in my teleprompter?
I was literally just on another podcast the other day talking about this very subject.
The men are taking over. No, the men are taking over.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready. No,
how you use... You,
Les, where you at?
You use the terms atheist and fashion in the same sentence, and that is a huge topic, because I believe that atheism is a fashionable construct.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a challenge out. I've had a challenge out to my fellow associates, because I've got several who claim to be atheist, and here's my theory: if you think you're an atheist, I've yet to meet someone narcissistic enough, even the ones that claim to be atheists, and I've taken them to task on this. If you claim to be an atheist, what you are saying, because that's another one of these words that has been turned into something else, just like the word Christianity. If you are an atheist, you are saying every thought, every ideology, every idea that has ever existed is wrong.
Yeah.
And you... The self-proclaimed atheists are correct. And I've heard a lot of people call themselves atheist, but when I hear someone saying that, I take them to task and say, you are honestly going to look me and the rest of the world, everyone that's ever come before you, any idea that's ever happened, any theory, any ideology, they're all wrong, but you've got it figured out. So my theory is, I don't think that there are any atheist. There's just a bunch of people walking around using that word in a fashionable form because it's a combative term.
It feels powerful.
Yeah. At best, people can be agnostic, because the agnostic standpoint is, I don't know. I don't know. I'm open to anything. I don't know. And mm-hmm. I think that's a more honest, it's a more honest approach.
I think that's good, John.
Yeah. And you just use those two terms together, and I don't want to just gloss over that, because there's a lot of people that, and I think that, I don't know, that's an it's a nice little social challenge that I will throw out there to anyone listening. The next time you hear somebody in real life claim to be an atheist, look them in the eyes and say, you seriously, everything that ever came before you, any idea, thought, theory, it is wrong. And you're declaring that you are right. And it humbles people, and it makes people think more. And I just didn't want to gloss over that.
Well, it does make people think, and
you
it
got
should.
Soft-billed too.
And the other thing is I just flew to Mexico and just looked at the clouds and was humbled enough to realize, oh my goodness, there is a God. I took my children to a little parrot tourist spot on the ocean there in Mazatlan. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there's a God, because I looked a parrot in the eyes, you know, and yeah. I'm like, oh my goodness, look at that intelligent thing and the way the little pupil stared at me and opened and closed and just all the different colors of the feathers and everything. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, there's a creator. I can't even go to a fish store.
Yeah.
And look at the little different goldfish and all the different boggle-eyed ones and all the different tiger stripe ones and think, I just want to kneel and worship, you know?
It's like, why aren't they just black and white?
Yeah.
Like, why didn't randomness turn into like it not work? Why does it all work so great?
So I agree with you, John. I don't know how anyone can truthfully believe that they are an atheist. But getting back to my teleprompter, I've got to get back. Let's just re-say this part again. The key to inner strength is realizing our inadequacy, forgetting the rat race, realizing our utter lack without God, and the actual door being our new identity, right? The key is out. We're realizing we are nothing, but to actually use that key in the door. The door is the fact that we understand now and have a conviction of his unending strength, right? That's now made fact within us. So the actual strength comes from this confession, which I love in Joel 3:10, let the weak say I am strong. So it's not just saying, let the strong say I am strong. So if people listening, you know, and even myself in different seasons of my life be like, I feel anything but strong. No, that's the perfect person to walk in his strength, right? Let the weak say I am strong. And my favorite translation of this is, let the weak say I am a warrior.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. That's like a translation. I forget which Bible that one is, but I just absolutely love it. And I got to read this scripture. Oh, no. Already read that one.
Let the poor say I am rich.
That's a different one.
And then let the blind say I can see. Is that just from the song? Is that a song or is that in the Bible? I should ask a Christian, Serene.
You know what? I've just always liked Joel 3:10, let the weak say I'm strong. I need to go back and see what Joel 3:9 and Joel 3:11
says. Yeah, that's what
says.
I'm saying. I think there's more. But if so, it's like, let the weak say I'm strong, let the poor say I'm rich, let the blind say I can see. So
it's a good song though.
Well, and it's a good mantra.
Hey, yeah.
Like I'm rich, I'm strong, and I can see.
Oh no, our identity is everything. But we are warriors, and it's not just some positive mumbo jumbo that we can say, you know, to try and get through the day, right? No, it's life and truth. We are warriors. As weak as we feel inside, as insecure, as inadequate as we feel inside, no, we are warriors, and it's truth. And it is the only really strength any human has, right?
Yeah.
Is his strength in us. All else is mumbo jumbo. Right?
Yeah.
Because some people say, well, that's just positive thinking. You know, I feel really weak. How can I really say I am a warrior? No, it's truth.
It's brain chemistry,
too. It's truth.
I am strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like my ears heard that, right?
Right. And I agree with that. But I actually think that positive thinking, you're like, I am strong. I am strong. You know,
yeah.
That only goes so far, because all human strength fails, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I believe, yes, positive thinking, it works. It's science to it. But there is something more when we have a relationship with Christ, invite him in, that is so much more to ourselves than just what positive thinking does to ourselves.
That's the thing I have in common with Christians is Christ.
Yes, there you go. There you go. But, you know, another thing, you know, we've said here on the pod here before, you know, just when you're going through your hard time, just when you feel that oppression, you feel like you've been carrying a load for a long time, you know, when you're in that dark season and you feel the weakest you've ever felt, we did that potty on You Have Never Looked So Strong. Remember that potty we
did?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
You Have Never Looked So Strong. And another little thing on strength, because this potty is potty strong. We're talking about all different things that pertain to strength. We are strongest in tough times. And that's when tough men are made, yeah. Right? I love that quote by General Michael Hoff. And it's hard times create strong men.
Oh, bring it.
And strong men create good times. But the flip side of that quote goes on to say, good times create weak men. So
and weak men create tough times.
Yes, right. That's right. And weak men create tough times. But it's true. It's been seen throughout history, right? That in tough times, good men are made. Good men rise up.
It's going to be Pearl for a minute.
When we are never challenged, we don't have to dig as deep into that strength God has available for us, right? So I encourage you wonderful listeners out there, you potty peeps, that if you are oppressed right now, if you are under a load and have been under a load for a long time, you are forging a toughness inside of you and you are the strongest you've ever been. You've never been so strong, and this is your time of great strength, and wear it and wield it, and just know strength is being forged inside of you. And I do want to say, it's just as a Christian thing to say, Dan.
I'll permit it.
Yeah. The strength is forged because in these tough times, intimacy is, you know, intimacy is driven. You know, it's not okay anymore to just have like a little Mickey prayer. You know, I just have an acquaintance with God as I, you know, half sing a praise song and or like, you know, like read the daily app verse, you know. No, in tough times, we're driven to our knees, right? In tough times, we're driven to seek his face. And it's in that face-to-face where strength is forged. And I think I do have a script for Pearl here on that one. Let me see. Oh, my goodness. Do I have? Yes, I do. Good. Chronicles 16:11. I thought I didn't have a scribby for that, but I do. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. And so it's face to face. So if any of you are in that hard season and you're like, my goodness, where do I go? Go to his face because that's where your strength is found. And I do want to have a little encouragement too. We've also spoken here on the potty. Do you remember that potty we had, Dan? We talked about a strong man in your life. You know, it was based off of that parable in the Bible that says, you know, it was talking about how if the home was going to be looted, they first have to bind the strong man. That home can't get anything stolen out of it unless while the strong man is there.
Right.
So, you know, if you bind the strong man, then yeah, maybe it can get looted. And so, you know, I've had strong men. It's just, of course, it's like a little analogy, but things that I have used in my life that I call strongman. And one of them is my revelation of newness, right? And it's become a strongman whenever I get faced with like, I don't know, like an oppressive thing like from my past or like something I did wrong or something that I feel like is just like trying to come over me. But you know, I used to be really under fear. Like I didn't just have fear come to me from time to time. It was a stronghold in my life. Fear was.
Were you aware of it?
I was overcome. Yes, I was aware.
Like you would feel it.
I would feel it. I would feel it on my neck almost.
Really?
Yeah, it was a definite spiritual thing.
Do you never felt it in your stomach?
Yes, definitely. You know, in your bowels, right? You're going to feel fear. It starts to rumble.
You can rumble.
Yeah, but I would actually feel it crawl up my neck first, like literally. But it was a bit of a genetic thing too because my nana had like anxiety attacks and my Auntie Kate, you've met Auntie Kate, wonderful woman of God, but tends to be a bit of a warrior. Not a warrior like I am a warrior.
I understand you can't pronounce from your accent.
Yeah, okay. But she worried and...
she worried.
Yeah, and I know it's a spiritual thing, but it could also be like a genetic mental makeup.
It can be a serotonin thing.
Yeah. But anyway, but now when I feel like I can feel that thing creeping back, I'm like, out with the old. And I bring that strong man, that new revelation. It's a strong man. And I'm like, I am new. I am new. Oh my goodness. I'm walking in the new. And it really, I cannot be looted by fear because of the strong man. So I do want to tell you two other strong man words that I have in my life that I can use as weapons. And it really helps me stay strong in the Lord. And those two are renewed and restored. And I will fling them out there. Like, look at this. And they'll come out, you know, in my mind, they come out like these big buff, like, you know, like chain breaking men. And one is renewed. That's one of my strong men. Renewed. He has a big word renewed on his chest, right?
Nice.
And then the other one is restored. And let me start with renew.
That's
because
such
I have
a great
this
image.
Revelation, right? Yeah. And this revelation is so clear in me, and I meditated on it that he's become this strong man, right? But my revelation is that my God is a God of renewal. And that's how I stay strong in him, because I say to God, you keep me fresh, right? Because I feel like, you know, in the world, the enemy just wants to wear us down. You know, he just wants us to eat that stacked poisonous sandwich of yesterday's wrongs and yesterday's junk stacked upon yesterday's junk and the day before that and the day before that. And it's a poisonous stacked sandwich, and he wants us to eat that and just
stinky salami
and just feel so worn down and overcome, right? But this revelation that comes from that, one of my favorite verses, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. There's that word renew. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. And so I held on to that word renew, and I'm like, oh my goodness, yes, you renew my strength, Lord. So strength is not something that you give me when I first came to you, you know, and it's like, okay, I got my certificate in my heart of, okay, you are now a Christian. And I got a certain amount of strength. Uh-uh. Renewed every morning is my strength, you know. And it doesn't matter how fed up I was in my situation before I went to bed last night. It does not matter, because in the morning I will be renewed. I'm fresh. I wake up refreshed. And so I have this revelation of the freshness that God gives me, and that I walk in this, and I get to look forward to this renewal every morning. And I love in Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I can hear my father's voice. I can hear him singing it, because I grew up and he would sing this around the house. And his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. That sounds like renewed to me. Great is your faithfulness. And new every morning is how he deals with me. And it's how he deals with you. And it's how he deals with everybody who comes to him. New every morning. And so we get to tap. We who realize our inadequacy and have come to him for true inner strength that lasts. We get to tap into this generosity that gives us a portion of strength that is more than enough for each day, new every morning.
That's so great. Like, I feel like the modern world often misunderstands the ancient world. Mm. Especially, you know, their lens was what we're calling spiritual, but, you know, spirituality and science and even government, like, weren't disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like, it was like this unified understanding. I mean, like, now any, you know, brain specialist would talk about, like, the serotonin reset with sleep,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, how poetic and beautiful is it to say that mercies are new every morning?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's something that my dad, being a Spanish speaker from Mexico, mm-hmm. kind of schooled me on,
yeah.
as I was asking him about the Spanish language. And him and his brother would hear, they'd be in the front seat, right? We'd be driving somewhere, I'd be in the back seat. And like, they weren't just like, oh yeah, and so this, and then so that. They were like, like everything yeah. was like, just, they leaned into
yes,
it. And like,
yes.
it was so like, they were just preaching everything. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, we're trying to figure out where to get coffee.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, with that much fervor.
Yes.
And what they explained to me was that, because I would say, well, how would I say that in English? And they would say, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have this expression.
Yeah.
And they explained that we're very passionate. Mm-hmm. And even we have these phrases that mean, they sound really extreme if you translate it into English.
Yes.
It's the most extreme sounding. Like, we peeled our skin.
Yeah.
It means, like, it went really poorly.
Yeah.
But like, at the literal translation is we peeled our skin.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, I think we miss that to throw off the ancient world, you know, is to miss like
so much meaning.
The heart.
So much. Yeah, the heart. And it's like with the Hebrew, you know, it's some of the Bible translations I've heard Bible scholars say they don't really do it justice, because if you were going to say, you know, the word happy, you'd have to say happy, happy, like in English to be able to really pull off the definition.
So, how are you feeling today? Great, great, amazing, amazing, amazing. Great.
Right. So that word renewed, you know, I feel like we have to really lean into it. Like, you know, say it in your Spanish, renewed.
I wish I knew the word.
Renewed, yes. So I feel like another one I want to bring, you know, is
bring another.
Is restored.
Yeah.
Restored. And let me go back.
You want me to tell a joke?
Let me go back to renewed. I don't think I've toasted that point really good. I think I have. Yeah. I just had on my teleprompter another couple of things I think I'd like to bring.
Well, bring it.
We get to live topped up, right? We never have to feel drained. And that's a huge thing. And I've one of my favorite people, like I've told you here on the party over and over and over, that I love to listen to Graham Cook. And he has told so many times before in his messages, the enemy, you know, wants to wear us down. But if we have the true revelation of Christ, that ain't happening. We cannot be worn down and exhausted because of the revelation that comes with Christ, that he fills us up, right? It's new every morning. It's freshness that comes with him. But we never get to feel drained as true believers unless we just tip our cups over, right? And keep them upside down.
You know, sorry.
No,
please
do
continue.
Not be sorry. Please. Do not be sorry, Dan. If you have something to say, you bring that.
You know, this revelation of Christ, right? Like, you know, always... Until like a serious like midlife crisis season in my life happened, you know, we had Nadia on the podcast before, and she shared about, we didn't really go deep here. I almost wanted another hour because she shared about literally her whole life falling apart. Mm-hmm. I mean, like in a way that they talk about in movies, you know, that in a way they make films about. I mean, full abandonment, poverty, no solutions on the horizon, no idea what to do next. Seven kids by herself.
Bingo, Dan.
There's one of them. She's got to figure it out, right?
Yeah, but bingo, I just want to say one thing just for you.
Yeah.
And then I want you to continue.
Okay.
We talked food with her.
Yeah.
But oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
That woman.
I already know.
Has depth. She understands this principle of the renewed every morning.
Yeah.
She's face to face
with
the Lord. Like, I have heard nobody get on her knees like Nadia Matana. Nadia Matana gets on her knees. Like, I'm telling you, this woman has, like I said, she's been such a blessing to me, and the blessing's all been mine, not the other way around, because I have been so inspired by that woman to dig in tough times and not to carry yesterday and yesterday and yesterday and stack it up with exhaustion. Like, that woman, she every day comes for her fresh portion, and she lives to the full. You heard her laugh. That's not the laugh that comes from somebody with a miserable life.
No, that's the gut bouncing joy of having gone through the crucible.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, we talk about, you know, when we had this idea of, you know, Christ, you know, and that's where I'm so like with the church, I'm just like, ooh, you just
got
this.
But that word Christ, that's not the church, Danny. That's the cornerstone of the church.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So, the saving message. Mm-hmm. What is the bit of information? What is the revelation that is to save me, that is to cause me to be what I am to be in this world. It often doesn't come until your very life force is pressed out of you in a way that you can't control.
We wish that it didn't have to be that way. And I'm sure that God would love it, you know, if we could just like read the word and really get it, right?
Yeah.
But it does, it, you know, and so I'm not one of those people that feels like everybody's got to go get broken, you know.
Sure.
But it just seems to be that he brings beauty out of the ashes, and we learn best.
You know, well, there's this idea that you have to come unraveled. I mean, I remember sitting Indian style in front of my low window in my office, just finally completely done. Just like, you know, because when you're not done yet, mm-hmm. you're like,
you're still on the treadmill as the little rat running around thinking that you can make it, thinking you're going far. And you're just going in circles.
And even you're in that state of like, even mind over matter. Mm-hmm. You know, you're even like, oh, let me positive this through. And like, it's like not broken yet, you know? And then I remember coming to this place where I was just like, I opened my window and I was just like, hey, God.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. Why am I even here if I'm just to lose everything and completely fail and blow it as a parent, blow it as a husband, blow it as a provider. The one thing, my one job is to take care of these babies mm-hmm. and provide mm-hmm. and all the other kids are off to Disneyland and off to this and off to that. And we're just not doing it. And it's because of me. And it wasn't, I mean, that is the surface of where I was at.
Yeah,
and
like
Nadia, I didn't think I was dying. I knew I was dying. And I was looking up at God and I was like,
and
you're a maniac.
But guess what? That was your strongest moment, right?
That's what
I'm saying. Your inadequacy, when you realize, I mean, that's why brokenness helps us, right? Just because we realize our weakness and we realize our need for him. And once we realize our need for him, then he can really, we decrease enough for him to be able to increase inside of our life, right?
Well, and I heard this little whisper in that moment.
Yeah.
Look at the birds of the air.
Yeah.
And like just that, like there wasn't an answer. There was no solution. I didn't have a game plan. It was just this like this whisper in my heart of like, all is well, baby boy.
And you felt loved, right?
Yeah. I felt loved. I felt like all of the universe was conspiring for me. That there was a God, that this fatherly force was totally with me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally with me. I was just sitting there like bawling my head off, not at this revelation. I still wasn't happy about this. I was just so undone. But the point is that like that is when you exhaust yourself. When you, like, if you want to just live your life on pills,
mm-hmm.
you know, keep a trucking. Change
keep
nothing.
Keep on the rat race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, dude, you can get off your pills, America, is what I'm trying to say.
That's so true. But we're not going to get them off. You know, we don't have enough willpower as humans.
I think I came to because I was diagnosed for all these pills.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not, this isn't armchair philosophy ideas here. Mm-hmm. I'm sharing my, and I don't want to say anything to anybody else. I'm saying, I'm just sharing my story. Mm-hmm. Like I was diagnosed anxiety disorder, mm-hmm. PTSD, ADHD,
mm-hmm.
provable. I mean, this wasn't like the doctors had run amok with diagnosing. No, I was on the checklist. Mm-hmm. I hit all the markers and I was prescribed all those medications. Mm-hmm. And
you're not on any of them.
I don't take any medications. No. Yeah. So I'm not telling people to get off their meds.
Yeah.
I'm saying I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to not do it. And it caused, you know, you get so tore up and broken that it forces you, like, it's like the Navy SEALs, you know, all these Navy SEALs are like, I can't go another second. My arm is physically broken or whatever.
Yeah,
and
the
instructor is like, move forward.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice.
Right.
And you don't know what you're capable of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I think when I think of the strength of God, right?
Yeah.
The strength of something beyond me mm-hmm. that is out there.
Yeah.
You get pressed into that.
And it's not just a mystical thing. It's not just a spiritual thing. Oh, yes, God wants to live inside of us. No. It's such a reality. It's such a it's so real that
it's measurable.
It's measurable.
If I went back to the doctor, I would not test out as having an anxiety disorder.
Yeah. Oh no. And I just think of, you know, what Nadi has gone through, and this is just the second thing, and we're 45 minutes in and I've got so much to share, but I just quickly rabbit trailing before I get back.
Let's go like 2 hours.
Yeah.
Pearl's like, gone.
Like, you know, it's just like, you know, her Rwandan story. I mean, her whole family was massacred and she fought for her life. And so it's like, But it's this whole, I mean, the reason why she is an overcomer, the reason why she has this strength to like be telling jokes all throughout her day, and her children like Jeremiah turning out to be absolute amazing people.
While her baby's fighting cancer, right?
Because of this whole concept of God is strong in her and that she is a warrior. It's real. It's measurable. Let me go back to the other strongman word, since I had brought it up already. It's, you know, we did Renewed, and the other strongman who comes out with his big chest, you know, is Restored.
I can see these guys.
And then I chuck this guy at things, you know, when I feel like things have been stolen from me, when I feel like, you know, that scripture verse, you know, the locusts have eaten, you know, the strongman, I throw him out there, Restored.
Restore the years that the locusts have eaten.
That's it. Yep. And I love Psalm 23:3, the great shepherd restores our soul. And I just, you know, there is so many verses and with the word restored in the Bible. It's a biblical concept. The word restores used 136 times, you know, just with that word alone in the Bible. But the actual concept, you know, with other words describing restoration is so many more times above that 136. But I just want to mention just a few scriptures just for Pearl's blessing. Isaiah 57:15, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity. That father force that you were talking about, you know? The Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. And there's that true measure of inner strength again, the humbleness, right, that we've been talking about. I live in those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore, is that strong man, restore. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those repentant hearts. And I love 1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, there's a strong man, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And then that verse that you said was Joel 2:23. I will restore to you what the locusts have eaten. And I love this because so many of us, and that was talking about, you know, the harvest that had been destroyed, but many of us feel, you know, in our life, there's been things, you know, in our life that harvests that are ours, that were taken from us by the enemy, just from things that we'd walked in, you know. But God is the God of restoration. And that's a strong man that maybe you who are listening want to use in your life, you know, when you feel like, okay, well, all I have is, I don't have anything to show for all the struggle that I've gone through. You throw out that strong man restored. It's coming. You know, it's on its way to you. But we have to claim it, right? We have to wear that identity of somebody whose restoration is coming for, right? But Stan, quickly, we have not much more, but we have to do physical strength. We have to touch on this because it's huge, right? Because I believe that just as we are on the inside, the outside then expresses what we're trying to do on the inside, right? Yeah, so it's like a billboard of what's going on the inside. When you see somebody like walking all like sloppy and slouchy and like, you know, you think, you think inside what's going on in their little, in their head of theirs. You know, you think, you
and
start
then,
to think.
Well, and then you talk to them and it's confirmed.
Right. Because there's nothing like.
Yeah, I hate everything.
Yeah. It's like, I know. Okay. There's nothing like, you know, like the sagging pants, you know, down to their.
Yeah.
Bum crack, you know.
I help
like,
my boys out. I'm like, up, tight.
That's
if you need my help.
Yeah. But there's nothing like a perky posture and a confident walk to just kind of like advertise what's going on. So, you know, so I agree. I'm all about the inner, you know, the inner man, the inner strength. And I think that God cares about that most. But don't tell me that he doesn't care about the details of the body that he created.
Yes.
I mean, this is the God who goes on in Job about the war horse and about the muscles and the flanks and all that kind of stuff. He described poetically this muscly war horse. He cares about the details, right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple, in the physical was like the stones were amazing and the structure was incredible and every detail and every cubit and measurement, it's all detailed out in the Bible because God cares, right? So I don't think that God doesn't care a woot if we are just like letting it all rot. Like, right. I'm not trying to make a religion out of muscle building or anything. I'm not trying to be all weird, but I do believe that we should care because I think God cares that we feel healthy.
As did the ancient philosophers.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like people would love to take that and be like, oh, you're making the condition of your body like a spiritual thing. And it's like, is she making it that? Or is it somewhat that? And is it okay? Is it not a religious judgmental position to take? Is it okay to say that the way we handle our bodies does affect serotonin levels, chemical flows,
unbelievable,
our belief about ourselves, our wherewithal, our happiness, our depression?
You can't separate it.
I haven't been able to.
It all goes together. But I do want to say really quickly too, it says in the Bible too that the sons were to be like the mighty oaks and the woman like the daughters like polished after the similitude of a palace, pillars polished out. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, God says some stuff there about, that was probably talking spiritual too, but he does care about the physical. In Proverbs 31, he talks about the woman strengthening her arms, strengthening her loins. I can think only that would be like her inner core and everything. And I do believe that it matters because God cares about our health and the days that we live on this earth, that we feel joyful in this body that he gave us. He doesn't want us to feel trapped, like we're dragging this old dead chain around, you know, like rotting around us as we live our days. And I do want to say, you know, muscle is more than what we just think. It's not just, you know, these young teenage boys, you know, strutting their muscle around and we're thinking, oh, it's just for the young to like care about their muscles. No, I think it should be something that we contend for, second to our inner strength, but we contend for, especially as we age. After 40, of course, sarcopenia sits in. It happens way before that. It happens, you know, in our 30s, but we don't really notice it. But in our 40s, we start to see measurably, you know, our muscle is starting to go, but we have to contend for muscle. We have to contend for bone because they both start to deteriorate and our longevity can be measured by our muscle.
Yeah.
Muscle mass. Actually,
wow. 50, I didn't know that.
Yes. And I'm going to have talk a little study in here. But, you know, you've heard of family members maybe friends of your mom, you know, and you hear the story, oh, you know, well, she wasn't feeling that great and she's getting a little more frail and then she fell.
Yes.
And then she broke her hip.
Very common.
And then she never recovered.
Yes.
Right? And it's actually called, you know, the frailty, fall, and demise, right? That elderly people, they get so frail, then they have a fall and then it's the demise of them. Then they end up dying. They can't recover.
They'll die. I learned, I'm working a lot in nursing homes right now and I'm getting schooled up in all this, and a broken hip will lead to death.
Oh, it totally does. Muscle mass tissue accounts for more than 50% of our body mass. And muscle mass is essential for our metabolic awesomeness, right? For our body to be this fine-tuned, functioning body that wants to stay lean. If we lose our metabolically active tissue, which is our muscle, it has a dramatic consequence on our weight. Then people are like, you know, when we start to think we are over the hill, and they're like, oh, you know, I'm starting to thicken around the middle now. Well, we're losing muscle, and that's why we're thickening around the middle.
Okay.
We're losing our metabolically active body tissue. You know, and then we don't deal with sugar as our blood sugar gets more hard to control. You know, muscle mass prevents diabetes, which is a huge killer. You know, and as we lose our hormones, you know, then we actually, you know, we have a harder time with insulin sensitivity. And that's why it's important, especially if people decide not to to use bioidentical hormones and to start to optimize with that. It's even more important for them to contend for their muscle because muscle is going to keep them more insulin sensitive. It's going to help them not get so insulin resistant. It's going to help them not thicken around the middle because they're going to keep that muscle tissue that's metabolically active. And Muscle mass correlates with a decrease in all-cause mortality. The American Journal of Medicine proves this in their clinical research study that was titled Muscle Mass Index as a Predictor of Longevity in Older Adults. They did this big study, and that's what it's called. You can look it up. And it's so muscle mass correlates with a decrease in disease. And so people think, oh, well, you know, I'll just do my walking, you know, and just walk. And there's nothing wrong with that. But contending for muscle is actually a huge way to fight disease.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And it's never too late to start. You know, Pearl was talking about that one lady, I forget her name, but she started in her 60s, you know, her late 60s, and she was overweight and she was, she had no muscle tone. And now she's like incredible. Her stance and her posture is amazing. And she's got this awesome, she looks like 30 years younger and she's in her late 70s now. But it's also scientifically proven that exercising when we are younger induces epigenetic changes that directly affect lifespan. So, you know, we got to encourage, I mean, you don't even need to encourage your boys. They're naturally into it, right?
Oh, yeah.
But like,
I just started boxing classes too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But
and
you know,
and it hurts.
I'm trying to encourage, they're boxing you. They're using you as their.
Well, I mean, I'm being trained by this Golden Gloves champion. And I mean, he's like, I can't train you without.
Oh, you're starting it.
Me and my sons.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and even to hit the bag,
yeah,
all my arm, biceps, joints, it hurts.
Yeah.
Even like 5 days later, I'm still hurting.
So you're not only strengthening your muscle, you can tell that you're remineralizing your bone.
Yes.
Yeah, when you get that hard impact.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I just keep doing it.
But I'm trying to encourage, and Jeremiah, see, you know, he's listening here. I'm trying to encourage my my girls and all my children who, you know, that it's never too early to start, even though you think you all look awesome and you don't need it, right? At that age, it's like everything's just great.
Yeah. I hear a ghost in the air and it's going, but guys, we're 55 minutes in and we have to close. And
I know, but I'm like 3 minutes.
No.
I'm
saying she's not here.
I know.
It's
exactly.
A ghost.
It's just, she's not even
It's here. Not even real. And I can feel the team. I can feel the crew going like, And Les's hand is like slow-mo.
No, but listen, I'm just that little yellow little emoji bell. I don't hear it. I don't hear it.
Yeah.
But I'm encouraging them because when you're young, you can actually turn on these epigenetic changes that prevent disease.
How young?
They get turned on.
Like when? Kids should be working out.
The study was done that they get turned on in your youth. Right?
So working out as a kid is smart.
Yeah. It's very, very smart. But you know, you're never too young. You're never too old.
We're working on daddy's farm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But see, exercise and muscle mass, they affect your DNA expression. And there are tens of thousands of genes in your body. And some of them only get turned on by exercise. My husband swears that some only get turned on by cold plunges, Danny.
I will tell you that is the truth.
You're yet to get your text from Sam, right? He texts.
He hasn't tried
a different guy
me.
Every week to come and do his cold plunge with him.
Did he get a trough or something?
Oh no, he's going down into the river. They go into the river.
Yeah.
10 minutes they've been doing.
And there's that mineral water rinsing over you.
Oh yeah,
washing that soul. I believe it.
No, but it's true.
I want to come with him.
So people, right? We've got these genes. We've got these epigenetic genes that can like turn on incredible things in our body. Anti-aging genes. Genes that prevent disease. And it's exercise that can turn them on. So, hey, we can all be about like being all these awesome people inside. And that's great. And that's the best, you know.
Yes.
No, we can't be.
And
too
you're the best.
We can't be too all so spiritual that we forget about the
that's
external.
So good. That's right.
And I don't think God's so spiritual that he forgets about it.
That's so true.
That's
so
it.
Good.
I finished. Bell me.
Yeah.
No. We're not finished. Dan's gonna do his push-ups for us. You said you were gonna bring the push-ups. I said we're talking about strength here today.
I'm so rusty. You want me to do some push-ups?
Yeah, I do.
You want to see how far I can get?
Yeah, I do. I want to see you
My bladder's bursting too. So have you ever seen those people that work out and they just pee?
No.
What if that happened? It's like he finally comes on YouTube and he pees his pants.
Well, Pearl's not here, so it's the best, you know.
You know,
she's
I peed
more...
my pants well into my, well, I was like 12.
How did we get here?
I don't know. So what do I do?
I'm just wanting Dan to like, this is filmed here. See, we want some show and tell.
Film before a live studio audience. I mean, all right.
I want proper form to Jeremiah. Tell me if his bum sticks out too high from that angle.
All right, you ready?
Yes. I want at least 20, Dan.
At least 20?
Yeah.
How many are you going to do? Big workout queen?
No, listen, I'm tall. It's hard for me to do push-ups. I can do push-ups? I do push-ups.
What's your workout? What's your go-to?
What's your go-to workout, Serene?
Oh, I mean, like, I have a bunch of different. Oh, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. He's even got a bit of a jump.
I was positioning.
Oh, no, I like that bit of a jump. Woo! You can't call yourself small Dan no more. He's thick. Look at those thick biceps. Oh, my goodness. Woo! That's adrenaline that comes from being watched, right? Oh, my goodness. Woo! Oh, he's beyond 20 by far. Right. He's going. And then Jeremiah. That is good stuff. Well, the bum's starting to sag, but you're still going. Yeah. You know, Pearl would be down there showing her stuff. She can never let Dan do a push-up without Pearl, you know.
She almost beat me on a past episode.
She's good. She's good.
Hey, peace, kids. Bye. It's been real.
Are we? What are we? What is that? 1 hour? What?
Chill out in mama my way, and then I'll be